Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Hey, welcome to the Southwest today, and we are so glad that you are here to worship with us, and a lot of things going on today celebrating the life of Christ and how He moves in our lives. We have a baptism today, we have it Senior Sunday, Baccalaureate Sunday, and then just as always, the Lord is going to do great things by the power of His Holy Spirit. Father, we are here in Your midst because You have brought us back to life. Lord, we believe and we trust in that. That's why we gather together. That's why we sacrifice time to be here with You and in fellowship with each other by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, as we are here today, Lord, I pray that if we don't feel like we're alive, Lord, that You would just energize Your Holy Spirit in us beyond anything we've ever known so that we would feel that living power, that life force that comes from eternity itself into our mortal bodies. Lord, the immortal that comes into the mortal for each and every one of us. Lord, let it be so today in the name of Christ. All the people said, amen. Just for a second, just think about just in your hearts and your minds, just where you have had to surrender in life and where you have seen the fruit of that surrender. Think about the places in your life where you just absolutely have refused and you're just really hanging on and just that tug of war with the Holy Spirit and with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and just really give yourself an honest assessment of how's that going. Maybe going fine, but it's still a struggle. I just know in my own heart of hearts that, boy, and y'all know I've said it, you know, I'm a control freak. I like to know everything. I like to know a couple of steps ahead. I anticipate days, weeks, months. I'm five decisions beyond the decision I make. But it's when I surrender and just say, okay, Lord, you know, not to check out of my brain, you know, not just to empty totally, but allow the Lord to just have that influence. Well, that surrender is so much better. So, Lord God, as we are here in this place, and when I mean this place, I don't mean in this room. I mean in this place in life, because we all have different places. Lord, as we surrender, Lord, as we just give a little bit more away to You, as we give up a little more control, as we give up just a little more of our own selfishness, Lord, I pray that You would just pour Your Holy Spirit into that gap. It's like when you dig a hole in the sand on the beach, and when the waves come in, just as soon as you dig that hole, sand starts filling that spot. And then you can dig a size of a swimming pool hole on the beach, and almost the very next day it's full, it's gone, it's covered back up. Let that be the power of Your Holy Spirit in our life today. Let that be the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of these seniors that are graduating from high school and going on to the next chapter of their lives. Let that be true for our marriages, our friendships, our ministries, our families, our children, our neighbors, our enemies, our coworkers, our employees, and our employers. Let it be true for us all. In the name of Christ, all the people said, amen, amen. How many of you have ever gone off? Oh, listen to the laughter. How many of you will not admit that you've ever gone off, but the person sitting next to you says, oh, they've gone off? Oh, yeah, look at that. That's even better. So when we are thinking about that, it is Baccalaureate Sunday, graduating senior Sunday, and I just hope that we give a little bit of collective wisdom to those graduates that are going to be venturing into their next chapter of life, no matter where they've been, no matter what they've done or what they're going to do, what that means for them. And you all know, you just have to look in the bulletin this morning that it's extra special for me because one of those is mine, and you just know how that feels. Anybody that has children that are either out of the household or in the household or whatever. So when you think about that, there's sermon notes. You can check on those. You can get that today and look there. The idea of going off, though, is the sermon title. But here it's a dual purpose title, though. Okay, it's about going off. Okay, because all of us, even if you're not a graduating senior, how many of you wish you could go back to that, by the way, and get a redo? Just let me see the amens in the room. Oh, there's a few of you. That was so much fun. Let's do that again. Not for $1 million, says Dallas. That's true. I guess I want to pick and choose the redo parts. Okay, that's a fair assessment. But whether you're going off into your next chapter, and this is true for all of us are going to be going off into another chapter of our lives at some point. No matter how old you are or how young you are, no matter if you've been in a career or if you already have a family or if you're just starting out, it doesn't matter. There's always going to be another chapter. And so we can all be going off into something new, okay? It could be a promotion. It could be just going from the eighth grade into high school, or the first grade into second grade, or from a job to retire. I mean, there's all sorts of things. And so, but also, it's about going off, getting mad, and being angry, and not just in general, but I want to put it in the context of also, when we go off and we're following God, it doesn't always turn out the way we want it to. It doesn't always look like we want it to. And the processes are not always the way Matt Wolfington planned them to be. And so that's where I want to go today. And so we're going to read out of 2 Kings 5, 1 through 10. It says, now, come on. Is it behind? Oh, yeah, it just does it here. So sorry. There it is, up behind me. Now, Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded. And respected, okay, because by him the Lord had given him victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper, okay? Remember, leper, got a skin condition, got a disease. Now, the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus spoke the girl from whom the land of Israel. Then the king of Aram said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. He departed and took him with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothes. Isn't that funny? You talk about a clothes hound. 10 changes of clothes. He brought a letter to the king of Israel saying, and now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to you that you may cure him of his leprosy. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and he said, am I God to kill and make alive that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he's seeking a quarrel against me. It happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Let him now come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean. Okay, so let me just put that in a nutshell. Naaman's got leprosy. There's a little servant girl in the house who knows God. Tell Naaman to go to see the prophet in Israel and Samaria, and he'll be healed. Okay, that's the bottom line. Now then, what does that mean for us? How many of you have been, though, a little upset about the plans that have played out before you in life. How many of you have been a little upset because you said this was going to happen, this was going to happen, I planned for this, 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 and this, and yet it didn't turn out that way, and you felt like you wasted a lot of time, or you felt like you were slighted in some way, you felt insulted, you felt like you were out of control? If you have, then this is for you, because I think for all of us, in many ways, we have seen that, because so many times we have unmet expectations, just purely unmet expectations. Doesn't mean they were high and lofty. It just means that we had unmet expectations. But Naaman, okay, remember, he said, go dip 7 times, but Naaman was furious, and he went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not the Abani and the Parfar rivers of Damascus far better than the waters of Israel? Can I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. That's a strong word, rage. He went away in a rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored, the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He turned and went off in a rage. I'm not going to ask my family, but I don't think I've ever turned. Yes, I do. I just remembered one. I don't think often I have turned and gone off in a rage. Now, you may know somebody, and you may be this somebody. You may have anger issues, and I don't mean that as a joke. You really might. You might be hot-tempered or whatever. But here's what's important. This is a spectacular display of God. A spectacular display of God's healing, a spectacular display of God's grace. Because let me just tell you, as a side note, Naaman did not believe in God. Naaman would have never been a disciple of Jesus willingly. Naaman was not, he was not that. But yet, look what happened. That's a side note. So spectacular, and yet he turned off and he went off in a rage. Why is that? Because I think we have to go back and we have to look at this idea of going off and following God, okay? He did. He heard somebody say, if you'll go and you will go to the prophet, and he knew what he was doing. He knew, he had heard about at least the God of Israel, and he said, so, okay, I'm going to go. So he went off, okay? He was going off to follow God. Maybe not in the way that I would say a call on your life is, but still, nonetheless, it was a prophetic word given to him. He went off, and he was going off to follow God. And yet, when he got there, it didn't go the way he wanted it to. Anybody with me there? It didn't go the way he wanted it to, and so what did he do? He went off. He got mad. He got angry. So, look at your neighbor and say, this teaching is for you today. Oh, no, I'm not kidding. Look at your neighbor and say, this teaching's for you today. And then turn the other way and look at your other neighbor and say, this teaching's for you today. Because right now, somebody said, man, I need to call somebody and tell them to log into Facebook because this sermon is for them. No, it's for us. It's for everybody, because we've all been in this place, regardless of where you've been. Graduates, regardless of where you've been, the expectations you have of life are not always going to turn out the way that you expect them to. Can the rest of the room give me a resounding amen? It's just the way it is. And that doesn't mean it's bad. It's just not going to look the way exactly that you think it's going to look. And even when you follow Jesus to the very letter of the word that he gives you, it's not always going to turn out the way you want it to, is it, Don Kinder? It just does not. It just doesn't. And so for us, we have to know that when we go off and follow Jesus, that we should not be going off on Jesus because it's not the way we expect it. And I'm not talking about you can't be disappointed. You can be disappointed. I'm not talking about that you can't argue with God and have a little fight with God. You can. Okay, I've had plenty of those. And I have been sorely disappointed in a lot of different ways. But it doesn't mean that I have to go off in a rage. It doesn't mean that I can't find the expectation in my own heart, in my own head, that what God has in store for me is way better than what I have in store for me. Way better, even when I am disappointed. Because right now, Just think about you growing up. Think about if you're a parent raising your children, and you come to this culmination of this day of graduation for all of us. And raising children is not easy. Amen? It's just not. And raising teenagers, no matter how good they are, that's not easy either. I mean, just think about Jesus just for a minute. The last time, so there's this whole life story of Jesus from birth all the way up to the point where he was in the temple about 13 years old, somewhere in there. Remember, 13, teen, right about the time Jesus was a teenager. There is no life story of Jesus from teenage years all up to the point where he reappears back on the scene at about age 30. To me, that tells me something about parenting teens, even when it was Jesus. I mean, parenting the wonder years is not all that it's cracked up to be. I mean, even in biblical times. And I don't know if Mary and Joseph ever had to go off on Jesus. I know that sounds so funny, highly unlikely, but as parents, I mean, if you're raising the Son of God, how frustrating can that be? I mean, you've got the neighbor over here thinking that they really do have the perfect child. They've got the bumper sticker, I had the perfect Hebrew child, you know, right? And you're going, no, I really have the perfect. I mean, I have the perfect. And when that doesn't go so well for you, right, when Jesus looks at you like the condemning look, you know, or at least the loving, convicting look to Mary and Joseph and his brothers and all that, like, should you really be doing that? Oh, come on. They had to go off some point, especially the brother. Get to that later, maybe on a different day. And so, and us, society, we're going off more and more and more and more, right? I watched somebody at a coffee shop recently, and they went off because, I don't remember what temperature they said, but they were going off on the barista because the latte wasn't at, I don't know, 240,000 degrees that they asked for. I don't know what it was, but they were so angry. I'm like, really? About a latte? I'm like, come on. Temper tantrums in grocery stores, temper tantrums on airlines, temper tantrums in lines. I mean, everybody is just so angry, and I think we're doing that because we have forgotten that God created a lot of different emotions besides just anger. A whole lot of different emotions besides just anger, except yet, this is the one we go to all the time. Yeah, oh, there's so much laughter and giggling, and there's pointing and poking and all the things, right? Some of you are having to repent right now. I mean, I just know that that's the way it is. And that's okay, all right? I mean, it's okay. Matter of fact, the rage is not okay, but the idea that we should not ever be angry is not true. Because, listen to me, there is a proper place for anger in our lives. There's a proper place for that emotion in our lives. And it's not in the places that probably we've exhibited this emotion, but it's an emotion. It's scriptural. Look at this. Be angry, okay? It says be angry, but what does it say? But do not sin. Be angry, but in your anger, do not sin. How is that possible? Because we should be angry, okay? We should be angry at a lot of things. We should be angry at poverty. We should be angry at starvation. We should be angry at the marginalized in society. We should be angry at, there's a lot of things that we really should be angry about. We should be angry at the devil, and we should be angry at those that don't ever come, not angry at the people that are not saved, but angry at Satan for the deception, right? I mean, there's things we should be angry for, and that's okay. But we should not just blow up when our lattes are not the right temperature. Okay? You just shouldn't. How about this? No, I'm not even going to say that. We'll just keep moving. So angry is never the primary issue, ever. I mean, there's always something below the primary issue, and that's where we get to Naaman, because anger wasn't the issue. It was something underneath. It was something that was really going on in his life. And so this idea of anger and this idea of going off really does represent what's going on in Naaman's life. And Naaman, our first clue about what I think was underneath the issues of his anger really is the first line of Scripture, okay? That he was the commander of the army, of the king's army. That's a big deal. I mean, when he really said, "I'm kind of a big deal," he really was a big deal, okay? He was the commander of the army, okay? That means he had status. He had importance, right? I mean, Naaman was the guy. Okay? Naaman was the one all the guys wanted to be, okay? He was the guy that all the women wanted to be with, okay? He was the guy that all the children wanted to grow up and be like. He was just the guy, okay? And everywhere he went, I mean, everybody was looking at him, and, I can just hear the girls, you know, they see Naaman coming, and maybe he's walking through the crowd or whatever, and they're pulling out their phones, and they're like, "Hey, do you think you could get a picture with me? You know, I mean, will you be friends? Can I send you my snap?" And all the kind of good things. I mean, whatever it might be, he was the guy. He was the guy, and it says so, okay? He was great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, highly regarded. We all want to be a Naaman, and Naaman is that one. I mean, Naaman's on the box of the cereal. Naaman's on the Oakley sunglass ads. I mean, he's just that guy. He had endorsements from American Express, Nike, all the different things. Chariots Unlimited, I mean, whatever it might be, I don't know. But he had all those things, all right? And so we are just like the people that look at Naaman, because we all want status. We all want to be somebody, right? We all want to either be the somebody, or we want to be like the somebody, or we want to be in the entourage of the somebody. That's just the way we are. That's just the way we are. I mean, and kids are the, I mean, we were kids, right? I mean, you can say that you weren't, but you really were. And I mean, we all want status. And status has changed over the years, and not for the good, I don't think, but status has changed over the years. Used to, you could ask a kid what they wanted to be when they grow up, right? What do you want to be when you grow up? I grew up in a city at a young age in San Antonio where they had trash trucks, and they had trash men on the back of the trucks. You know, they would hang on to the back of the truck and grab the trash cans. That was the coolest job on the face of the planet. Matt, what do you want to be when you grow up? Trash man. Yep. Ask kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? Teacher, astronaut, you know, whatever, I don't know, whatever it might be. Chef, dancer, nurse, I don't know what it is. Now, what do you want to be? We got famous. That's all they say. What do you want to be? I just want to be famous. Have you seen my TikTok video? Right? See, the kids are laughing. They get it. They start understanding. And if you don't know what TikTok is, you will never be famous. Right? He was that. And adults, we're the same way. Don't lie to yourselves. Even if you don't know what TikTok is, you want the newest and latest, greatest car. Or you would love to have somebody else's clothes, or somebody else's money, or somebody else's job, somebody else's marriage, somebody else's children, somebody else's whatever it is. This is what we do. We all want a different status. We all want something different. And Naaman, he had the status, but yet when it came to that success, he didn't know what to do with that. For all of us, we're all looking for status, right? And think about to Mary and Joseph and the neighbors. Well, my kid's the perfect Hebrew child. I mean, we do that. Oh, my son's the quarterback at so-and-so school, right? And then somebody else says, no, my daughter's Clara in the Nutcracker, right? And then somebody else says, well, my son beat that felony rap and he just got probation for 6 months. I mean, I don't know what the status is. See, I got it all right there. That's what we all do. Every one of us. Naaman, you know what the big lesson is about Naaman? There's like 3, 4, 5, 6, but one of the big lessons is that illness, sickness, sinfulness doesn't care about your status. doesn't care about who you are. It doesn't care about any of that. And Naaman, he had it. I mean, just Naaman, I don't know how he figured out he had leprosy, but I don't know, I think I know who Naaman probably was. You know, he's the big buff guy, and he had the great hair, and he had the trophy wife, and he had the perfect children, and he had the perfect job, and he comes home from work training soldiers one day. I don't know, maybe he'd been in a battle, and he goes to the bathroom, and he starts taking off his armor, and he's looking in the mirror, and you know how you do when you're in the bathroom by yourself? Yeah, see, I hear it. And it's all the women that are laughing. You know how you do. You're looking and you're checking yourself out and you're getting in the shower and you might go, ugh, you know, and you get in the shower. I don't know what you're doing, but Naaman, I mean, he's looking at himself. He's taking off his armor and he's standing there and it's like, who's the man? Naaman. Who's the man? Naaman. I mean... the man, and he goes, what is that? And he's looking, and he figures out he's got a spot. Figures out he's got leprosy. See, and that wasn't a small thing, because if you had leprosy, you were an outcast from society. You were scary. No one wanted to get near you. No one wanted to touch you. No one wanted to breathe the air around you. Wow, sounds a little bit like something we've been through. Except leprosy is the symbol for sin most of the time. But for him, it really was that this condition, and it would spread, and it would start eating away his flesh, and fingers and toes and ears and noses. And, it just started eating, and it was nasty, and it was gross, and it was festering, and it would scab. And you just think of the nastiest thing that you could possibly think of in a skin disorder, and you got it right there. But you know what he did? Graduates, hear me. Everybody, hear me. You know what he did? He saw that he had a spot. He saw that he had sin. For us, we have this sin. But you know what he did? He just put his armor back on and went back out into the world. How many of us do that? We just cover it up, look good, put our armor back on. Don't let anybody know what's going on in our life, because we don't want to look like we have leprosy. We don't want people to know that we're sinful. We don't want people to know that we're hurting on the inside, that we're scared, that life is falling apart. And be careful. Here's what I want to say to all of us, but especially for the younger folks in the room, not just the graduates, but the school age, college age, younger adults. Most of us have figured this out as we've gotten older, I hope. But be careful, not just be careful, don't. But be careful how you judge other people based on their armor. Because you don't know how they're falling apart on the inside. You have no idea. And for the graduates and for school-age kids that are going from one grade to the next, and maybe from elementary to junior high to high school to college, or high school to a job or whatever it might be, you're about to walk into a world where you're going to know what it's like to be judged. Amen, adults? Yeah, we just are. I mean, sometimes you can feel the judgment. Just feel it. Remember how that feels so you don't do it to somebody else. Because Naaman, he knew what it was going to be like. And so he put his armor back on. And then that little slave girl, the little servant girl, she must have heard. She must have heard Naaman crying to his wife, or talking to his wife, or whatever it might have been. And you know what she said to his wife? Naaman needs to go see the prophet in Samaria, because he will be healed. Not he might be healed. He didn't say it's a possibility. It said that he will be healed. Now listen to me. This is a servant girl. Now she was enslaved from Israel, okay? And so she knew who the God of Israel was. She knew God, okay? And so she knew the power. She knew that she had grown up knowing that God had parted the Red Sea, that he had delivered the slaves from Egypt, just all the miracles, and said, if he'll just go see the prophet, he will be healed. I heard a pastor one time say, when I get to heaven, everybody's got a list, and to answer all these questions and to do all these things with God, he goes, I'll get to all that. He goes, I want to meet the little servant girl. because we don't even know her name. She was nameless, but she was not faithless. He goes, that's who I want to meet, because she went to the master and said, you ought to go do this. And she shouldn't even be talking to the master. And yet she was right. And let me just say this as a side note. The miracle started with the servant. Let me say that again. The miracle started with the servant. If the servant hadn't spoken up, if the servant had not done what the Lord had told her to do, then I'm not saying he would have, but just in the history books, Naaman would have missed out on this miracle. He would have missed out because somebody didn't speak up. I thought of this last night as I was looking back over this. You know, when we say our prayers and we're asking God for things and we need something and we're looking for something and we're praying for somebody else and we don't think our prayers are getting answered, could it just possibly be that God's waiting on one of his other servants to come answer your prayer and they're not doing it? God's answering the prayer. He's wanting me to go talk to somebody about what something I think is going on in their life, and I'm too chicken or I'm too scared because that's not my place. Maybe you don't think it's your place, but maybe God wants to use you to provide the miracle in another person's life. That's another sermon for another day. We'll get to that. But just maybe, you need to speak up. So Naaman left. He tried to do it all on his own still, though. Okay? Graduates, everybody else in the room, stop trying to do it on your own. Yes, God gave us a brain, but follow him. See what he wants you to do in life. Because Naaman, he took all this money, he took a letter from the king, he took 10 changes of clothes, he did all that, he took his entourage with him, he took his chariots with him, and he still didn't go see the prophet. He went to see the other king, and the other king, pretty much, I'm going to shorten it, but he's like, I'm not God, I can't do this. He ended up still, in the end, he had to go see Elijah. Now imagine this, he's wasted all of this other time and money and energy by not doing what God's called him to do, and yet God still got him to the place where he wanted him. All I'm going to say is, why take the longer route to get to where God wants you to go when you can just go straight down the path with him? How many of you wish you'd have done that first? I could stand on my head and tell you. If I just listened the first time, if I just not tried to do it myself, if I just didn't think that my plan was better, I could have gone straight to the source. And so he got to Elisha's house. Here's name and status. Here we go. Here's what's about to happen. And he pulls up, and Elisha's servant sees Naaman pull up. I mean, it's an entourage. It's not just Naaman, you know, walking up to the house with a bag of clothes. No, I mean, it's like a presidential motorcade coming to the house, right? And Elisha's servant, I mean, just think about modern day right now, okay? Elisha's servant looks out and he's like, it's Naaman, right? And by the way, he just came from the king's palace, right? Elisha didn't live near the king. I don't know where Elisha lived, but I'm just to make a reference to make this a way better sermon. Elisha probably lived over in the hood a little bit. I mean, he was a prophet. He probably didn't make a lot of money. He lived over on the other side of town. And as he was coming through town, as Naaman was coming through town, they're like, what is he doing here? Why is he in this part of town? And then when he stops in front of Elisha's house, like, oh my gosh, it's Naaman. Oh, it's wonderful. He goes, aren't you going to go out and see him? No, I'm not going to go out and see him. What? You're not going to go out and see the great Naaman, the warrior, the mighty? He goes, don't be impressed by all that. I know he looks good, but he's falling apart on the inside. I don't care, I'm going out to get a picture with him, the servant probably said. Right? And he goes outside, he goes, but when you go out there, just tell him I said to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. You want me to go tell him? You're the prophet. You want me, the servant, servant number 2, the second servant, you want me to go talk to Naaman? Are y'all catching a theme here that when you think you're high and lifted up, that's not where the miracles happen. When you're out serving, when you're out being where God calls you to be, when you're doing what God calls you to do, that's where the miracles happen. because we're all looking for status. And think about this. He went to see the king, and the king said, I can do nothing. The king had the title, but he had no power. The king had the title. He was the king, but he had no power to do what Naaman asked. Boy, I'm going to do this so I can see Macy. Where's Kimber? Oh, there she is. Kimber and Macy, don't seek a title. Seek power. Right? For all of us. Don't seek a title. Seek power. Seek the place God wants you to be so you can have the power that God wants you to have. And here it is. The servant went out. He tells him to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. He compliments his chariot. He compliments his armor. He says, oh, this is great. You're wonderful. And don't kill the messenger, but the prophet said, go off. And he says, he's not coming out to see me. He says, no, go off and dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Go off. And so he does. And he went away angry. He went away mad. He went away in a rage. I love scripture, how it says this. And it sounds so hokey. It sounds like something that I would make up, you know. But he said, is he not going to come out and wave his hand over the spot and call upon God like abracadabra, hocus pocus? Isn't that what we want? Don't we want somebody to come to us? Don't we want some miraculous, the lightning bolts and the thunder and the heavens to open up and the rains to come and all the stuff? And yet he just says, go dip 7 times. And he had to go to one of the dirtiest, murkiest rivers in the country, the Jordan River. And so he goes. Now listen to me. Just think about this, okay? Just think about how this looked. Here's Naaman, the great, mighty warrior. He had to go and he had to dip and he had to dip. I mean, he had to get into the water, okay? Now, I don't think this is the way a great warrior would do it. I mean, he's not going to get into knee-deep water and lay down and roll around to dip. No, he's going to have to go deep. We've talked about going deep before. He had to get out into the water, out into the river. He had to go off into what God called him to do. He had to commit. Not just put his toe in it. He had to go commit. And he had to take his armor off. And boy, and there's people watching. I mean, if Naaman's in town and he's going to the river, there's a following. Scripture doesn't say it. I just know how society works. I know how culture works. It's Naaman, and he's going. And now listen to this. This is going to embarrass some of you. But when Naaman starts taking his armor off, the word got out fast. And all you giggling girls, boy, they were running to the river. And soon as he took off that armor, what they thought they were going to see, they were like, oh, he's got leprosy. He's got leprosy. And he had to walk out into that water. And he had to dip deep in that water. And when he would come back up, still there. Now think about this. I just thought of this. Nasty, murky, muddy water where they washed and where all the stuff in their lives went and all the yucky water and all the sewage and everything else back in the day into that river. And he's got nasty, open, pussy, gross scabs and he's in that water. This better work. Amen? First time? Nope. Year one of following God? God. It's still not happening. Dip number two, he comes back up. Still got it. I've prayed for my kids. I've prayed for my marriage. God, I still don't see you doing anything. Dip number three. Dip number four. Dip number five. I don't know how he got to five, because after number three, God and I are yelling at each other. That's just me. You said... Just one more dip. Fine. Dip number six. You said. Dip number seven. And he comes up out of the water, And as he looks at himself and as everybody, it may have been the look on everybody else's face. I don't know. But as he came up out of the water the seventh time and his skin was not restored, okay, it wasn't put back to the way it was. It was put back to perfection. It said he had the skin like a little boy. Amen. Totally new, totally recreated, totally God. Hallelujah. See, that's what we need. That's the following. And it doesn't happen always after the first time or the second time. And I hate to tell you, not always after the third or the fourth or the fifth. It's called, just like I was talking to Liam, it's called obedience. It's called just doing what God calls you to do day after day after day after minute after tiring effort after... You just keep on and keep on and keep on. Graduates, all of us. See, going off means we have to go off and we have to go off deep, committed, obedient, and stay the course to follow him, to do all of those things, okay? Because to do that, to going off requires something Naaman wasn't sure that he really had, and that was humility, right? It required perseverance. He had to keep going and keep going and keep going, right? It required patience. He had to be patient one time, two times, three times, four times. Obedience. Five times. Don't just go see the king. Go see the prophet. Six times. Seven times. Faith. Faith like that little servant girl who shouldn't have even spoke up. And if I say, if God will do that for Naaman who was not a follower, who didn't believe in God, I just can imagine what he'll do for us that do. Because how much more... How much more does he care for us than he does those that don't even know him? Right? Going off. All of us are going to go off at some point. Maybe tomorrow, maybe the next chapter and the next day, maybe the next promotion. I said all those things. But here's the secret. Don't go off angry when it doesn't turn out the way you want it to. Right? I can tell you my life story. You know my life story. This is not where I plan to be. In fact, on June 2nd of last year, June the 2nd, not that I'm counting. On June 2nd last year, I should have retired from state law enforcement with 30 years of service with a fantabulous, awesome retirement, and I was going to go get another job and make even more money. Right? So glad it didn't turn out that way. So glad. Because I would have never known you. I would have never known the Lord the way I know him. I would have never been in this place. I would have never had this family. I would have never had this faith. And it's all about obedience. Kicking and screaming the whole way. Kicking and screaming the whole way. I'm going to ask our graduates, how about Macy over here, maybe somewhere right in here. How about Kimber and family right over here? Y'all don't all get up at once. So Don Kinder, partner in ministry for a lot of years and still partner in ministry no matter what. Come on up, Don. Are we using this one? No, we're using this one. Sure? So here's what I'm going to ask all of you. I know that they're just up here by themselves, but... Don's going to pray over them. I get to be a dad for just a minute. Amen. And not Pastor Matt, not Pastor Dad, just Dad. And so Don's going to pray over them. If you want to come and circle up around them, we'll also do this later in the year, but we're going to do it today as well. Just to love on them and to pray over them, to show that commitment of faith to them. Y'all come on up, and I don't care if the whole room gets up and picks somebody or if some of you stay seated, that's fine, but y'all just come on. Don, it's all yours.
This is a holy time in the life of our church. Time for hugs and celebration. Celebrating great accomplishments. As we continue to gather, there's no hurry. If you want to stand with some of these, come on. Okay, now then, let's pray together. Lord, it's in the name of Jesus that we come together, this time of celebration in the life of these two young women, Kimber and Macy. Lord, we've loved them and we've seen them grow. We've seen them grow in the faith, Lord. And we celebrate with them, Lord, great accomplishments that they've made. But Lord, they were girls and now they are young women. Lord, I sense more than that. You are calling them, each of them, to be a warrior princes in your kingdom. Lord, that takes an anointing of your spirit, a touch from you that lets them grow up in maturity in Christ, knowing that when they go to the next place in their life, they are representing you. They are representing the kingdom. They're representing us. And so, Lord, we pray for a special anointing in Kimber's life and in Macy's life. Lord, that they would sense the anointing of the Spirit of God upon them. They would sense that you're calling them to be a warrior princes in a fallen culture. Lord, it's rough out there. Our country used to serve you and follow hard after you. And now, not so much. And Lord, so as they go, may they remember that little slave girl that we talked about today, that Matt told us about. Slave girl that spoke up and changed a nation because they listened to her. May these two young women be bold in speaking up for the things of the Lord. Lord, the boldness that comes from following your spirit, from following the truth. Lord, thank you for the family that you've put them in, the support that they've given. The support's not over. The support's not over from all of us. Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done in their lives so far. But Lord, they've become young women, and you are calling them to the next place in their life. Let them know as they step out, Lord, they're not alone. But your spirit is leading them and empowering them to be servants of the Lord. So it's in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we pray. We pray for them. We pray for their families as they begin to turn loose gradually as these young women become women in the kingdom of God, doing exploits in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just love them. Lord, we pray the best for them. We commit them to your care because that's the highest thing that we possibly can do. So it's in Jesus' name, Lord, that we make our prayer. It's in the name of Jesus, Lord, and with great confidence that we trust you. Lord, it's because we are the family of God and these young women are part of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on up. So this is my great niece. She's not cute at all. So for all, no, you can't steal her. So for all you young parents out there, this is what happens when you go to sleep and wake up one day.
It is.
Right? I know, she's so sweet. Here, go see Macy. You can go sit down. Unless you want to give the parting blessing. No, that's all right. Worship team. Hello, somebody. I guess Levi and I'll sing. Oh gosh, trying to make me cry. Stop. Thank you all for coming today. Thank you for being a part of our family. Some of y'all have been around since Macy came into the world, and thank you for that and just all your love and prayers. And thanks to the Bauckham family and Kimber over there for being a part of our family of faith and serving the way they serve and the joy that they bring to all of us. And let me just pray for us. Would you stand as we close in worship? Lord God, thank you that, Father, as we seek status in the world, Lord, that you would show us a better way. Lord, that we would not chase after the fame and the fortune. Lord, that if that's the blessing that comes from following you, then praise God and thank you for those that receive that. Father, but if it's just living in your abundance, if it's just living under your power, if it's just living under your presence, Father, and we are just relying on you for your provisions, Lord, let it be so for each and every one of us. Lord, that we, Father, that we would persevere, that we would be obedient, that we would be faithful, Father, that we would be non-judgmental, and Father, that we would chase after you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.